And Father Nevin, today bless us as we attempt to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And we ask that you would make up the difference in the words that are spoken and speak directly to us in Christ's name. Amen. When is God the closest to us? When would you say God is closest to us? Now, if I ask our minister of worship and music, Dr. Nanasi, he would say it's during the praise and worship time of the service. It's when we're singing. And certainly the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And also the special music, the special numbers, right? And how many of you have ever felt God's presence during a time of praise and worship? So they're definitely God comes close to us in worship. Maybe someone would say, no. God is the closest to us when we are in nature. When we are in the Grand Canyon, we are in the Grand Tetons, when we are in Grand Junction or Grand Rapids, or maybe not Grand Rapids. Maybe we would say that. How many would say God is closest to us in nature? Certainly the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork day unto day, other for speech. There's no place you can go where that language is not heard or translated. So we could make a case for praise. And we could make a case for creation. Someone says, no. No, well, that's not it. We are closest to God when we're with our families. How sweet to hold a newborn babe and sense the joy they bring. How many of you say, that's it, that's the ultimate thing? Babies. Family. That is when God is the closest. I would say that has an element. Certainly, you know, I think it's Steps to Christ where it says that amidst the family relations, that's when we have the closest we come to experiencing the love of God. Paul comes in, he says, I was to you as a nursing mother. There's something better than being a man in this particular situation is being a mother. Not just any mother, but a nursing mother. So many others, you know, when my mother and father desert me, the Lord will take me up. God is close to us within our families. Someone says, no, when a miracle happens, when I know it's a miracle that's happened, that's when God is closest. Of course, the devil can do signs, wonders, and miracles too. So let's not go too far there. But actually, I want to look at a text that is something a little different. And it has something to do with our hearts, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And it's found in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And verse 18. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So when is the Lord the closest? Is it when we're worshiping and praising? Sure. Is it when we're in nature? Sure. Is it in creation? Yes. Is it when we're in the family? Is it when a miracle happens? Yes. But this text says that the Lord is especially near to those who are what? Brokenhearted. So you came to New Start, maybe because of a broken heart. Maybe your cholesterol is high. Maybe you've had a number of heart attacks. Maybe you have problems not just in your heart, but maybe you have diabetes, which is a vessel disease that's going to ultimately impact the vessels of your heart. Maybe you have hypertension, which also is a vessel disease that's going to lead to hypertrophy of your heart. It's going to cause congestive heart failure, and you have to take care of it. Maybe you're struggling with obesity, and every pound adds an extra 200 yards of vessels that your heart muscle has to pump through. So you're really here to avoid brokenness of heart physically. Yes or no? And the text doesn't say that he only heals people that are spiritually broken of heart. It says he heals the broken of heart. And so over the last number of days, as you've listened to lectures, he sent his word through those lectures and he's healing you. How many of you learned anything in New Start that has been healing in terms of what you heard? So the Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted. That word brokenhearted, nestor in Hebrew, means to shatter, to smash, to break in pieces. It sounds like an acute situation, something that kind of happens suddenly. Brokenness, being shattered, smashed, broken in pieces. Some of us are broken today. Not just because of physical disease, but because of loss in our lives. We have the Ramirez family, who kind of watched in slow motion as their mother became more and more broken. She actually became more and more broken physically, but stronger and stronger spiritually, as I visited with her. So to smash, to shatter, to break into pieces. And when we're brokenhearted, it certainly may not feel like God is near. But the text says he's near. He's near. How many of you in this program, the New Start program this past week, have sensed God nearer than other times in your life? Often happens. People come here and they sense God is nearer than any other time, maybe for many years in their life. And God can draw near in a special way during times of brokenness. So how does he draw near? I've been thinking about this a lot the last few days. Where is God? How is he near? And I want to share some things with you today from the last number of days of thinking about this. First of all, God is near to us through the promises that he's given us. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He comes near to us in times of affliction. And a number of us have lost family members here over the last several months. And have we sensed God's nearness during those times? Has he been there to comfort? And is it better that we have some promises from God during that time? What if we had no promises? Would be even worse, it would be unbearable. And then I love Psalm 143. Look at it with me. Psalm 143. Actually, Psalm 147. I had a dyslexic moment in my notes. Psalm 147. Verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So he doesn't just draw near. Oh yeah, I'm near. I'm near. I'm here. He actually does something. That word near is in the Niphile form. I heard there's a number of preachers here today. They probably all study Hebrew. But this is in the Niphile form, which means to do in Hebrew. So he doesn't just come near. He comes near to do something. And what does he come near to do? Heal the brokenhearted, the smashed heart, and to bind up the wounds. I'll come back to that. So he comes near through the promises. He comes near through the personal presence of God himself. It says he's near. It's not someone else. He didn't send someone else. He himself is near. I love Isaiah 63:9. What does it say there? In all their afflictions. How many of their afflictions? All their afflictions. He was afflicted. Have you ever had an affliction that you thought no one was there? You thought you were alone? No. In all their afflictions, he's afflicted. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief, we're told in Isaiah 53. But especially poignant is Psalm 69, verse 20. Look at it with me. Psalm 69 and verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. This is a messianic psalm. It's pointing to that Garden of Gethsemane experience. It's pointing to many other experiences where God's heart was broken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, of course, Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. We're looking at how God draws near. First of all, it's through his promises. Secondly, it's through his personal presence. And this is just an amazing verse that I was pondering this last week. Psalm 57, verse 15. My daughter wrote a song about this. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. But also, at the same time, with what? With him who has a contrite and humble spirit, some translations, those who are crushed and lowly, reviving the spirit of the lowly, reviving the heart of those who have been crushed. How many think that's an awesome God? He can inhabit eternity and the lofty. Psalm 147, it says, he put the stars, all the stars in place. Then in the very next verse it says, and he heals the broken of hearted. So I was out looking at the stars the other night. He put all of them in place, and yet he can come near us and our brokenheartedness. The all-power, infinite God of creation can keep all that going and draw near when you're brokenhearted. Amen. So the promises of God help us in our brokenheartedness. The personal presence of God, the fact that He's gone through our afflictions and has been afflicted Himself, brings help. It helps Him come near to us in our brokenheartedness. But also, when He came near, He came near actually as a person. We celebrate the fact at this time of year that He came as a baby. And what was the first thing He did when He was a baby, when He got here? What's the first thing a baby does? He cried. And I think that is so powerful. Now you say He cried just because He was a baby. Jesus grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in favor with God and man. You know, it was just a reaction to clear His lungs. Yeah, that's fine. But then you get to John chapter 11, verse 35, where it says, Jesus wept. And why did He weep? Because His friend had died. Did He know about the resurrection? Yeah, in the very same chapter, He talks about the resurrection. I know that He will rise again at the last day, you know. Everybody knew that there was a resurrection. They knew, He especially knew all these things. And yet He comes near and it says, Jesus wept. I don't know about you, but that is very healing to know that even though Jesus knows it all, that doesn't mean emotions evaporate. So when you weep, Jesus weeps with you. You know the old poem, laugh when the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone, for the sad old earth must borrow its mirth but has trouble enough of its own. That's not true about Jesus. He comes the closest to you when you're weeping. I studied tears this last week in Scripture and in science. You know, when I get onto something, I really get onto it. Since I was not sleeping well, I might as well study about tears. Since I was crying, I might as well study about tears. Jeremiah wept. I have cried until there are no more tears. David wept for his wayward son. Absalom! Oh, Absalom! Hannah wept because she couldn't have a child. And God sees all those tears. And when He came to this earth, He wept with people. In fact, I was reading my mother's Bible. And in Psalm 56, look at it. Psalm 56. She had underlined I've used her Bible and my Bible and another Bible, so I'm kind of confused as to where I am on the page. She had underlined verse 8. You number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? My mother was a great crier. How many of you ever heard my mother cry? How many of you heard her cry about her sons? She used to work in a nursing home up until she was, I think, 75. I don't know, 77. And she wanted to be with the people who were dying. And she would cry with them. And for them. And then she'd come home and she'd tell us everything she could about the person, hoping that we would cry too. My mother believed in tears. So does God. Says he puts them in a bottle, and then somehow they're translated into a book. So he digitizes tears. If you can't pray, if you don't know what to say, just cry. And he takes those tears and he translates the tears. He knows what each tear means. And somehow he puts it in a book. How many want to get to heaven and read those books? You know, in Jesus' day, they would hire people to cry on the way to funerals. And they also discovered archaeologically small bottles that people would take when they would go to funerals. And those bottles were tear bottles. And they would put the tear bottle right near this lacrimal duct. And they would cry into the bottle. And then when they got to the grave, they would put that bottle in the grave. It was a way of showing the amount of love they had for that person. So when it says Jesus wept, that really means something, doesn't it? It wasn't basal tears that we all cry all day to keep our eyes functioning. It wasn't the tears of those fake criers that were hired to have onions to hold up to their eyes as they went towards the funeral. It was true tears of pain, agony, brokenheartedness. And Jesus entered into that very thing. Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. So Jeremiah wept, David wept, Hannah wept. But most importantly, Jesus wept, and he wept not alone. Remember how Joseph wanted to go away so his brothers wouldn't see him weeping? No, he didn't do that. He went, and he wept with the people who were going through the problem. He didn't cover up his tears like I've been trying to do for the last half hour. He didn't do that. I love this promise in Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But remember, before there's joy, there's weeping. If you're struggling, go ahead and weep. It's building up to a time of joy. I think maybe the greater the weeping, the greater the joy. You know, Hannah wept, but then she had a son. Joy came. Jeremiah, he wept because he saw all the people taken into captivity. But by faith he saw that that mourning would be turned into joy. He saw a picture of the Israelites dancing and enjoy and he wrote about it prophetically. He never experienced it. By faith, he saw it. Well, of course, John the Revelator as well penned those words, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I think there might be more crying in heaven before this happens. I think during the 1,000 years, there might be some tears. Might be some surprises. People there, why are you here? Well, this is what happened. I did this and that, and then I accepted Christ. He came into my life. He changed my life. And I bet you there's going to be tears of joy. And there may be tears for those who are not there. But there's coming a time when there's no more tears. No more sickness. No more death. You know, it says when he came near, he's near to those that are suffering, the brokenhearted and saved. That word near, we've studied. It actually, like we said, means to do something. And it was used for the Levites in the temple. Levites in the temple could come nearer to God than anyone else, and God could come nearer to them. But the word near not only means near in terms of presence, it means near in terms of repairing. In fact, the word actually means in a number of places in the Hebrew Scriptures to sew together. To come near, to do something, and in this case, it means to sew together. Sew what together? The broken heart together. So picture like a divine microscopic surgeon who is able to do delicate work. How many of you have ever watched a microsurgery? And God is drawing near to do that, to sew things together that you never thought could be brought together again. This could never come back together again. I'll never be able to get through this. It never will happen. He says, no, I'm the divine surgeon. It may take a while. You don't just sew something. It's not crazy glue. It is delicate work. And it may take time. It may take a lot of time. It may go on for years. Your journey at New Start might have started with physical heart healing, but it needs to go on. You need to stick with the program. You need to let God continue to sew that heart back together. Take that cholesterol down. Take that blood sugar down. Take that blood pressure down or up, depending on what your situation is. Take that. How many want to have him keep working? And to do that, he's going to have to work on your heart, because it's your heart that maybe led to some of these conditions. Maybe it was you were broken, and so you decided, I'll self-medicate with food. I don't know what the situation is. But how many think it's wonderful that it pictures nearness as surgery? And literally stitching. Another nuance of the word means, in the text itself, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. What does that mean? It's the same word that was used for a saddle. You know, you put a saddle on and you bind it on the horse. So you put a bandage on it and you bind it up. So you're going to grieve. You're going to go through this time of sorrow, and there's promises and there's God's presence and he's working, but he also binds. And I think that binding may be pointing to the idea of our faith. The word near not only means to sew together, like I said, but it means to pardon. It means to comfort. It means to restore. Remember David? When I kept silent, my bones grew old through all my groaning all the day long, for your hand was heavy, heavy upon me. Why was God's hand heavy upon him? Because he had broken the heart. of his kingdom by committing the act of adultery. He had killed a man and he had committed adultery. And then he didn't want to even talk about it. He thought he would cover it up. Could he cover it up? Can you cover up brokenness of heart? It'll kill you, might kill other people. Finally, a year later, in Psalm 51. And also, after some divine intervention, God sending Nathan the prophet, he finally confessed his sins and brokenness and in contrition. A broken and contrite heart, you will not disregard. So the broken heart of David was actually addressing the brokenness that he had caused in other people's lives. And when he was finally broken, God accepted it. Not about you, but how many think that's a wonderful thing? How many of you have family members that have gone astray? Or how many of you have ever had people that says, you know, he's not really genuine, she's not genuine? God knew that David was hiding this whole thing, but when he came around, he still accepted him. How many think that's a God of love? So, how does God draw near? Through the promises of God, through the personal presence of God, a like experience, through tears, through the personal care of God. He repairs, he sews us together, he pardons us, he comforts us, he restores us, he binds us up. And then also God draws near through the body, his body, through the people of God. I've really felt that this past week as people have drawn near to myself and my family at the loss of my mother. I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, almost. But the people of God have been used powerfully and every single thing has been like a stitch working on my heart. And I want to thank each of you, and my dad does too. We still got some stitching to do, but... And those who have drawn near the Ramirez family. It's been a comfort to them as we draw near them again this afternoon. How many of you are used by God to be a stitch? Through prayer, Proverbs 31:8, speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Some of you have come by and prayed prayers I could never have thought of saying that, but it was a comfort. It was a stitch. It was a bandage. Visit widows and orphans in their affliction. This is true religion. To see a team of nurses come by and take care of my dad every day for the last, 12 days was such a blessing to my dad. I think he would not have lived without it. They say the first 30 days after someone's spouse dies is a very dangerous time. That's when most spouses die. And for half of that time, you were there in my dad's house, rubbing his back, reading the Bible to him, singing for him. How many of you have been blessed in New Start with the New Start staff? Walking with you, singing with you, praying for you, maybe even rebuking you. Those who I rebuke, I love and cherish. Time to get up! Time to get in that hydro. Walk, 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 right. Blessed be the God and Father of all comfort, who comforts us in any tribulation, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. Some of you shared your stories. Some of you shared your life experience. This is a part of the healing ministry of ministering to the brokenhearted. And people that are paralyzed can be healed through that kind of ministry. Remember Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, where there was a paralytic man who wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't walk. He couldn't get to the New Start, the Restart program. So what did his friends do? They carried him. They put him through the roof. Said, wait a minute. I know you say we can't have an indoor meeting with Jesus, but we're going to have one. And they took the roof off, taking care of the air problem, as well as the proximity problem. And they just dropped him down. Maybe not dropped him. Lowered him down. Airdrop. They lowered him down into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus saw their faith and healed them. Look, we tried that. We tried that, didn't we, this week or this last week with my mother in the hospital. We put pictures all around her bed. We did everything we could do since we couldn't be there. The guy at Staples, when I realized I couldn't go up and see my mother, ends up never again. When I realized that, I got kind of frantic. I said, how is she going to know that the people of God are around her? How is she going to remember? How is she going to have hope? So I called this place. They said, well, we could do that for you. It'd be ready at 5 o'clock. I said, you can't be 5 o'clock. Let me tell you the situation. The man says, I'm on it. Called me 40 minutes later. Two big posters, a picture of my mom and dad together with words on them, a picture of our family all over the room. Because the presence of people, especially God's people, is healing. It brings hope. And I struggled, actually, this last week with a little bit of, I don't know what you'd call the emotion, frustration, maybe anger, because I couldn't be there with my mom. Struggled with guilt. What if I wouldn't have taken her there? She wouldn't have gone through that. Well, then I would have guilt if I didn't take her. What if I would have taken her there? But the people of God really stepped up. And for that, that's the reason we have church, and that's the reason we have to meet together. You don't do that over Zoom. They said, talk to your mother on FaceTime. That was a horrific experience. FaceTiming somebody that you love as you watch them die. That's not what you need or they need. I don't know. I hope this has been helpful to you. The promises of God, the personal presence of God, the tears of God, the personal stitching together care of God, delivered many times to the people of God, One of the biggest blessings, I'll say, to our family, and maybe to the church family, because this is a person I think we all knew and loved, both Sarita and my mom. How many of you love these people? These are like saints. I mean, yeah, they, you know, my mother had a temper, especially with me. Even my dad says, you know, she'd get mad at me sometimes, but it was better having someone mad around than no one at all. Why can't you hear? You know, I would say the same thing to my grandfather. He would just take his hearing aid out when he didn't like what I was saying. He would take the hearing aids out, you know, and then he would just look at me and he'd wave. Yeah. But one of the greatest blessings, I think, to me was we were getting frantic. I didn't know. I couldn't sleep at all. My mother was in that hospital. I said, man, she needs hope. We got to get something in there. And I tried to get in there. I said, I sign a paper. I'll die with her. I won't leave until she leaves. If she leaves dead, I'll leave dead. You don't have to worry about the spread. I'm going in. They wouldn't let you do it. So we started writing out all these messages from family members and say, hey, look, I know from working in the hospital in the unit, people can hear stuff. I remember I took care of this person. I had massive burns, and they were taken to Bronson, and they came back like 8 months later, and they told me everything I said to them at their bedside when we didn't even know they heard. I had led them to the Lord. I said, have you accepted Christ? Accept Christ. I had led them to resolution with their family. And they came back and they told me all that. And so I realized that my mother, even though she was failing, probably could hear. So we put those messages together. And then there was a miracle on miracles. Christina, who's now an honorary member of our family, she was able to go in and read those messages into my mom's ear. That was a blessing. Amen. To know that she heard those messages. Amen. So, there are many times God is near to us. He's near to us in praise. He's near to us in creation. He's near to us when miracles happen to us. He's near to us when our family is alive and around us. But he's also most near when we're brokenhearted. And he's not near just to be near. He's doing something. That's why we come and worship together. There's no substitute for it. There's no substitute for it. This is why Daniel, as his custom was, prayed 3 times a day. And he did all this worship thing. And the king said, no, I have a lockdown order. Only those that worship me for 30 days are allowed to live. If you don't follow my decree, you're going to be marked, and then you're going to be put in with the beasts. You're receiving the mark of the beast, not any beast, the lion, and it will rip you apart. But Daniel said, no. There is a time for civil disobedience. I am not obeying your decree because it would cause not death but everlasting death to me and everybody else. And so I'm going home and I'm going to the upper room, not the lower room. I'm not going to try and hide what I'm doing. I'm going up. I'm opening the window. And I'm praying 3 times a day, not to you, but to God, because it's essential. Amen. And God honored Daniel. He didn't mind if he died. Neither did the three who also had civil disobedience in chapter 3. Two lessons. When your leader's gone, stand up for what's right. When everybody else is gone, stand up for what's right. Be willing to die in a group, but be also prepared to die alone. Be one of God's honor guards and be willing to die alone. Because you're not really alone. God is with you. So what happens to Daniel? What happens to him? He had believed the law of God written with the finger of God instead of the law of the king written with the finger of the king. He had believed the law of God that also had a seal on it. And he served God to the very end. Well, it's kind of interesting. In both those stories, in one story, they were faithful and God sang with them in the fiery furnace. In Daniel 6, Daniel is faithful and the king can't have any music that helps him. But I'm thinking, Daniel probably had music playing in the lion's den. How many can say hallelujah? Because he was sealed for God. He was a servant of God. And God's law was more important than man's law. So let's end with that. The last thing in terms of healing the broken of heart. Promises of God. Personal presence experience of God, the tears of God, the personal care of God, through the people of God, and through the praise of God. Through the praise of God. I mean, my dad amazes me. His wife dies. But when we start singing, we better sing or else he's going to sleep. When we start singing, he starts singing. And my dad and I have been praising God with songs all week. And I want to commend that to you. See, God does inhabit the praises of his people, but especially when they're in jail, especially when they've suffered loss, especially when they're brokenhearted. I love Psalm 147 where our talks about binding the brokenhearted. It ends with praise, that psalm does. It begins with praise. Praise the Lord, and it ends with praise. Praise the Lord, and in the middle, it has the healing of heart disease. Now, how many of you at New Start want to be praising God? How many were praising God when you came to New Start? How many want to praise God when you leave? How many want to say, praise God for my healed heart? So the praise of God. And I have one last one, but it's going to be after we sing a song. The praise of God. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, Spurgeon, in a sermon on brokenheartedness, referred to as a quote by Matthew Henry. And this is what Matthew Henry said. They that pray do well. They that read and pray do better. But they that read and pray and sing do the best of all. How many think that's a recipe for brokenheartedness? Pray. Read. Praise. Because we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is leading and living, whatever man may say. So death may have a sting, but it's not the final sting. Irwin texted me this morning and told me that my mother had asked him about the songs. She knew all the songs in the hymn book from memory, but sometimes she hadn't heard them in a while. And she wanted him to play a song for her again, which will play right now and sing. It's number 446, Lo, What a Glorious Sight Appears. And we'll sing it, and then I have a final part to this message, just one final thing to help us in our dealing with brokenhearted. I was looking through the last text that my mom sent on her cell phone. Kind of broke my heart. Because I had ignored some of her texts. I had no idea. But the thing that really got me was her last text was for a family member that wasn't following God as she thought they should. She just wanted him to come home. Because she felt like if she could show the love of God to him, it would make a difference. And that's the last thing I want to put before you, that in this world of sin and brokenness, our job is not only to let God stitch together our hearts, but it's to help others give their hearts to God, to stitch their heart to God before it's too late. Your job in New Start was not to come here and just get better. It was to go back and to be surgeons for Christ, to lead people to physical health, emotional health, mental health, spiritual health. That's why you came. If you've not given your heart to God, this is the time to do it. Because he not only wants to heal your heart, he wants to heal other hearts through you. And there's going to be a glorious sight, and it's going to be joyful. Can a woman forget her nursing child? They may forget. My mother doesn't know what's happening. She's resting till the resurrection. But God will not forget, because he's inscribed us on the palms of his hands. And he also hasn't forgotten my mother. He knows where she's sleeping, and your mother, where she's sleeping, and your father or your grandfather, where he's sleeping. He knows all about it. And that's the last P. Praising God, people of God, personal care of God, the promotion of God. Spurgeon in his sermon talked about a dog who had been healed by a veterinarian or someone. This dog had a broken leg. And the dog remembered who had fixed his broken leg. And the dog began bringing other dogs from across the city who had broken legs and had illnesses, and would bark at the dog and lead the dogs to the veterinarian. If a dog can do that, how many think we should do that? I want to meet that dog. I don't know if there's going to be dogs in there. I'm going to meet that dog. I'm going to meet that dog. So, the promises of God, the presence of God, the tears of God, the personal care of God, the people of God, the praise of God, the promotion of God, ministry to and then through broken hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the lives that are being thought about today. Sarita, the Ramirez family, Tataya, the Chetan and Nedley family, Dr. Crum family, my family, others who recently have suffered loss, perhaps here or other places. We're thankful that you're the God who's had victory over death. Death itself will die. And he's also had victory over sin and death. And we'd like you to have that victory in each of our lives anew. We want your victory over sin in our life. And we know you already have had that victory, not only over sin, but also death. But we want to surrender ourselves to you. We want to give our hearts to you today, to have you stitch them together and stitch them to your heart, that we could work with you in healing broken hearts in this world. The song says, we're going to be in a place where we'll never part again. And for some of us, that means there needs to be a real character change, because people wouldn't want to be with us that long. So work on our hearts so we can be ready to never part from you and other people. Take the sin and sickness, physically, emotionally, mentally, out of our hearts. Do a new thing in us. Put your joy in our heart, we pray, which is a gift of the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.